Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
Woohoo! This is Penn Jillette in Las Vegas, Nevada, with a very special co-host. This is the first day that sitting across from me has not been Michael Goudaube. We're keeping it within the variety arts. We have the lovely and talented Mac King, who was here last week on a work-study program, but now you're actually sitting there in the Michael Goudaube seat.
And I'm lovelier now.
Lovelier. It's quite a thrill, isn't it?
Yeah.
For those of you who don't know, and I think some of you outside of Vegas may not know, Mac King does... Does the finest, finest comedy magic show I have ever seen. How's that?
I'm speechless. That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said.
Yeah, he does the finest comedy magic show. It's a great magic show because a lot of people do comedy magic, and it's usually neither. But if it is one or the other, it is one or the other. And Matt King has tricks in his show at Harrah's that will definitely fool you. And you will definitely laugh. It's not like, oh, those are some pretty good tricks, but man, the jokes are lame. And it's not like, which is the most common, you know. Most common is doing hack, you know, lines from years ago, and then a couple okay tricks.
Yeah, my hack lines are from really a long time ago. No one recognizes them.
No one recognizes them. They go way back. And he also does a show in the afternoon. Do you like doing a show in the afternoon?
I do like doing a show in the afternoon.
Does it make you feel like you're kind of in the Special Olympics of showbiz?
Oh, yeah. I am in the Special I know my place.
Who are you competing with in the afternoon? Who's the big competition? See, for us, it's Celine Dion.
Right, and for me, it's, let's see, Larry G. Jones, Man of a Thousand Voices.
Yeah. And are there a few Elvis shows,
Yeah,
too?
There's a couple of Elvis shows, and there used to be, my real competition used to be that guy with the trained cats.
Oh, yeah, well, he was a great act.
Yeah.
He was a great act. I won't say he's a better comedy magic act than you, but he's a better act.
Yeah, all right.
You know, it's just that's weather records, you know? So, you know, the coldest day in Death Valley in August. You have to be very, very specific in what you compliment someone for, you know?
This is
the greatest play I've ever seen without an albino in it, you know? Something like that you want to do. 866-313-FREE, 3733. I bring up albinos, of course, because I saw the Da Vinci Code on Sunday. And I want to talk about that. If you want to talk about the Da Vinci Code, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733, penradio@gmail.com if you want to send us a Gmail, and penradio.com if you want to check out all the groovy stuff we have there. Happy Jack is in the room with us, and he's the one reading your email. So all these things that say, Dear Michael, I love you, and that annoying little giggle you have are all going to be read by Happy Jack. So your personal messages, those little correspondence you've been carrying on with Michael Goudaube, if you want to keep them private, don't write about them today. 866-313-FREE 3733 if you want to talk about, we'll start out with the Da Vinci Code, and then of course we're going to go to Monkey Tuesday. Jesus Christ! Patrick, you idiot! We're going to start off talking about the Da Vinci Code. Then, of course, right after that, we'll go to Monkey Tuesday. That's the way it's done, Patrick. Thank you. That was still Patrick the second time, too. I'm going to throw your ass out of here so quickly. On Tuesdays, all you have to do is listen for me to say those two words in a row and play them. That's all you have in your mind. What were you thinking about? Your wife and kid are out of town. You got nothing to think about. Just nothing to think about except Monkey Tuesday. Okay. But we'll talk about the Da Vinci Code first. 866-313-FREE 3733. Now, you have, Matt King has the greatest show business story of all time of doing magic for dead people, which I'm not going to let you tell today. Because I want to, because today is Monkey Tuesday, and we have other stuff on our minds. And
monkeys involved in my story, unfortunately.
Unfortunately.
That would make it far and away.
It is, I believe, of all the desperate, depressing, miserable show business stories, it's the greatest. And I believe you still carry the wounds
that
day.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the best part of the whole
story.
Just
thinking about it, I'm thinking about it this morning going, what should we talk about? What, you know, if Penn asked me to talk about something, Yeah, I could tell that story he loves so much, and then I just got depressed.
Yeah, yeah, it's so great.
Already,
so
and great. It was 20 years ago.
The thing is, I tell that story to other people. It's always a bad idea to tell other people's stories, but it's so great I have to tell it. And I tell it, and I become helpless with mirth. And everybody's kind of looking at me like, oh, but that's so sad. So we'll let you be the judge. We'll get Matt King in here on someday, and it'll be the first hunk will be just your – do you have a name for that story?
A Penn's favorite story. Is what I'm calling.
So I saw the Da Vinci Code on Sunday, and I have to say that I think that the move that the nuts, not the Catholic Church, because they don't really do very much, but those satellite groups of like 20 people, like the Catholic League and those guys who are just like one nut who writes letters and stuff. I like the point that they're doing, you know, trying to push really hard that people should study about the real Bible. Because what they do in this movie, and the movie is maggoty with atheists. You know, Ian McKellen is an out-of-the-closet atheist. I believe the woman lead is an atheist. And I think there's another one of the guys that plays one of the bad guys is also an out-of-the-closet atheist. And we probably know that Ron Howard and Tom Hanks are just deeply closeted everything's, but including atheists. But the movie's a lousy movie. Did you like it at all?
I didn't like it, but I liked it better than I thought because, I mean, I'd heard it was going to be terrible, and I didn't think it was as terrible as I had read.
Well, everybody talks about how terrible Tom Hanks' haircut is, and it didn't seem that terrible to me. I've had a history of lousy haircuts.
You and me both.
So it seems fine.
I didn't think his haircut, that didn't bother me, but I just didn't think he was... I don't think he had anything to work with at all. I mean, that part was nothing.
But what I liked about it was all the religious stuff. All the religious stuff is treated exactly like the religious stuff in The Mummy. You know, it's just like, it's completely like plot meat. They've taken a religion that many, many people believe in deeply, and they've turned it into plot meat. You know, they've just said like, oh, and oh, by the way, if we open up a tomb and light gets on him, he can kill armies of people. You know, it's just like, oh, he walked on water and it's hidden under a triangle. Oh, just gave it away. Let's say Jay on line three. You there on line three there, Jay?
Ben?
How you doing, boss? How you doing, boss?
I'm good, buddy. How you doing?
Very well, thank you.
I saw Da Vinci on Friday night.
Yeah.
And it didn't really hit me until I actually put the credit card in to buy the tickets, the absurdity of the situation I was in. I was going to see a religious movie directed by Opie from Mary, starring Kip from Bosom Buddies.
Yeah, yeah.
And throughout the whole film, I mean, the French police, they're like running around like Keystone Cops. And they look like the police force in Mayberry running around trying to get these guys. And it was like being beaten over the head with a Bible. It was horrible. They explain things three times. And you were right. They cut and they show everything in history like they did in the Mummy movies where they cut back and they reenact and all that kind of stuff.
But I like that part of it. I like the part that, you know, the part where they just kind of, it's a convenient fiction. You know, you did anything you could to make Christianity strong. We're doing anything we can to make this horrible movie get through.
I just thought the movie was overblown. I thought it was boring. And, you know, they padded the hell out of it with trailers. So, you know, 3 hours later, you're walking out and you just feel like a zombie. So, I didn't like it.
But, of course, if Christ did rise from the dead, he was a zombie. So it's okay, right? It's the thing that all people always forget about the story of Jesus Christ is it's a zombie story. He's killed and he comes back from the dead. The thing that I thought was interesting is that our friend Mike Close, you know Mike Close,
sure,
a wonderful magician. Mike Close points out that he doesn't think there's a difference at all between the Da Vinci Code and standard Catholicism because he thinks it's all in metaphor, that being hung on a cross.
Ben, you're breaking up on me. I love your show. I'm going to have to let you go before
Okay,
we
thanks
cut
a
off.
Lot. Thanks a lot, Jay. I just got cut off by a caller. Thank you, Jay. I was just cut off by a caller. Did you hear that? I was cut off by a caller.
It's about time.
Great. It's great. You're breaking up. I'm getting out of here. Fine. I talk to you, Ben. I'm done. But Mike Close points out that that maybe being nailed to a cross through your hands with your side pierced with a crown of thorns and vinegar poured all over you is a metaphor for marriage. Maybe they're actually talking about the exact same thing. They say, you know, Christ was crucified, Christ was married. It's the same thing. And it's just, I thought the Colts might have had some real theological oomph there. Let's take line four. Let's talk to Stephen. And I'm going to hang up on this guy before he hangs up on me. Because that's humiliating. It's the first time in history. Is he there, Stephen?
Steven? Yeah, this is...
Hi, how you doing, boss?
Hey, good, how are you doing?
Very well, thank you.
Yeah, I'm calling about the Da Vinci Code, but it's funny that you just said Jesus is a zombie. In school, I wrote a paper on the resurrection of Jesus, and I proposed that he was a zombie, called him Zomba Christ. And that really infuriated a lot of people.
Now, did you go to Catholic school?
Surprisingly, nothing. The fact that I said that he probably didn't even exist, the Jesus of the Bible didn't really exist, because we don't have a whole lot of
video
evidence to support his existence, other than Christian writings, and they all kind of differ. But there's nothing written at the time that he was alive, either by him or by someone else.
Right.
It was about him.
Now, you said did you go to like a Catholic school or something?
What?
When you did your what'd you call it?
Zomba Christ.
Zomba Christ. When you did that, were you going to like Catholic school or was it public school?
No, it was a public school. It was a JC. It was a community college.
Oh, okay, so you were older then.
Yeah.
Well, that's cool. That's cool. But you didn't.
Yeah, I'm a bit of a magician myself. I actually work in a magic shop. Do you happen to know a guy named Jerry Camaro?
Oh, well, I love Jerry Camaro more than anyone. Where are you calling from?
Santa Rosa.
Santa Rosa, well, of course, yeah. Yeah, well, Jerry Camaro was so important to me and someone that I love so dearly, and his death really broke my heart. Jerry Camaro had the kind of chops you get in magic that you cannot have that kind of skill without doing time in prison, and that's where he learned it all. And Jerry was this beautiful, tough guy with a heart of gold. How well did you know Jerry?
I unfortunately did not get to know him that long before he passed away. It was only about, because I had been going to that magic shop for a while, and he had been there, and then when I kind of started seriously going there for about a year, I had met him a couple of times, but unfortunately did not get the to know him very well, but I hear a lot of stories about him.
Well, yeah, well, Jerry Camaro, because people don't know this, Jerry Camaro was a biker. He rode with the Huns in New England, which is a very, very badass biker group. He was shot many, many times and stabbed many, many times. He once said to me, he'd been shot 5 times and stabbed 4 times, and he said, if you ever have a choice between being shot or being stabbed, go with being shot. Being stabbed is much worse. And I said to Jerry, do they ever give you that choice? And there was a long pause, and he said, they did once to me. So I guess you do get that choice. He said that being stabbed, the knife hurts going in, coming out, and all the time in between. And Jerry was this tough guy. He did some time in prison, a good amount of time. And while he was there, he decided to change from being a motorcycle gang member to a close-up magician, and he practiced a lot. What I love about him is he would wear a tuxedo shirt, and he'd roll up his sleeves, which he thought was telling people there's nothing tricky going up my sleeves, because they would always get really quiet. And the reason they got really quiet, in my opinion, was that he had all this jailhouse ink all over his arms that said stuff like FTW right up there clear, you know, and Dennis the Menace on a trike flipping the finger, you know, all this stuff. So if you were going to heckle Jerry, as soon as he rolled up his sleeves, you kind of stopped. You stopped right away. Did you ever meet Jerry, Mac?
Oh, yeah. I knew Jerry a long time. I used to work with him at Magic Island in Newport Beach
a
long time ago.
That's where I first met him. Where I first met him, was in Magic Island.
Who is that on with you?
It's Matt King. You know Matt King, don't you?
Oh, my God, Matt King. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God. You're the guy from the magic shop in Santa Rosa, right?
Yeah, magic shop in Santa Rosa. Yeah, I saw you a couple months ago. Man.
Yeah, it's a great show. Well, thanks a lot for calling, man. Thanks. I want to do another call, Mac, or you want to talk about Jerry Camaro story? Do you have a good Jerry Camaro story?
I don't have a good Jerry Camaro story.
I have a great Jerry Camaro story. Jerry once was on a train. He didn't drive much, and he was traveling around doing lectures, right? and he was doing his magic lectures but traveling by train. And he saw a guy that looked like me and who was standing in a bar talking about Letterman as though he knew him. And Jerry thought trying to pass himself off as me. So Jerry walked up to him and said, are you Penn? And the guy turned and said, yes, I am. And he said, that's funny. I'm Jerry Camaro. I've been your friend for 20 years. And then smacked him directly in the face, knocking him down. And when I said to him, why'd you hit him? He said, for the same reason you'd hit somebody if they claimed to be Jerry Camaro. And I said, I wouldn't hit someone. And he said, you've got a lot to learn about loyalty. So, and I think he was right. He taught me a lot about loyalty above all. You know, if you were to say to Jerry Camaro, like if you were around him, you know, and you said to him, you know, I saw Penn and Teller on Letterman last night. They weren't that good. He'd go over the counter, over the chairs, and start punching you. You know, it was everything was a question of honor with Jerry.
Or punching.
Or punching. Yeah, well, there's three things he'd like to do. One we can't say on the radio. The other was fight. The other was ride. Those are the three things he did. And he was, I only saw him do two of them. But I bet he was great at all three of them. The guy just called up and said, Mac King, oh, my God. Do we have another call you want to take, Jack? Okay, let's take line two. Do we already have Jay on? It's a different Jay. Different Jay. Okay.
Hello?
A lot of guys named Jay. How you doing, Jay?
Oh, good, 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 good. You know, first of all, I want to make two comments reacting to the Da Vinci Code as well.
Yeah, good.
You know, first of all, I'm sort of encouraged that when you introduced the idea of the movie that you said you didn't like it, because there are so many people who are supporting that movie that is so, I think, ill-founded. It really is like a bad movie. I mean, Ronnie Howard has done some nice work. And that's where I went to see the movie, and I love the book. But let me ask you this. Is it only me, or as an audience, are we getting tired, and are we losing the ability to believe that Tom Hanks and Ian McKellen are anybody but the stars that they are? Can we see those guys in a movie like that and really believe that they are anybody but the high-paid actors and actresses they are? I mean, you need some smaller characters, I think, to sell that script.
It means somebody that's unheard of, so that they become the character as opposed to the movie star.
Yeah, I think I think Ian McKellen.
Yeah,
he was Gandalf.
Yeah, he was.
I also think
that Ian McKellen believed in Lord of the Rings exactly as much as he believes in Christianity. It was a really good angle. But that's a problem with all that stuff is whether they whether an actor is an actor, you know, whether the difference between a star and an actor, I guess, you know.
Yeah, but I thought Ian.
And I think on a story like that, which is really it's an interesting story. And to make it, you know, that blockbuster with all that broad stroke acting and, you know.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's that. I mean, I guess I didn't. Did you read the book?
I did read the book.
Yeah.
Did you read the book?
No, I didn't.
Did you have any trouble following the plot? Because I went with a woman who had not read the book, and she had no idea what the movie was about.
Yeah, I could follow the plot, I guess. Maybe I missed
a lot
of it.
I think the book, changes the impression of the movie. I think, most of America, I mean, the movies is a blockbuster hit, right? I mean, generally.
Yeah, it's huge. It's huge. Did you like the book, Mac?
I bet a lot of them haven't read it, because if you did read it and saw the interest in it, then when you see all of those, acted the way it is.
Yeah, they did. They did. They did certainly pump it up. I'm going to have to cut you off a little bit because we've got to go to break. Thanks a lot for calling. This is Penn Jillette on Free FM with special guest Mac King, 866-313-FREE. You know, maybe we'll talk some more about the Da Vinci Code, but maybe we'll go right to Monkey Tuesday. Yeah, this is Penn Jillette here on the big Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 3733. Oh, my God! It's Mac King!
Oh, my God!
Mac King! That should be your new billboard. Oh, my God! It's Mac King!
All right.
Playing at Harrah's every afternoon. And the great thing is there's no competition. You need to see one show in the afternoon. It needs to be Mac King. Go over to Harrah's and see him when you're in Vegas. And then you still have the evening free to see the Big Penn and Teller show. It's a perfect symbiotic relationship. relationship. Mac knows a lot about monkeys. He also saw the Da Vinci Code, which is why he's filling in for Michael Goudeau, who is out sailing this week. You know, some people like to go out dancing. Other folks, we got to work. Just watch me now. Take line six, Kareen. Talk to me, Kareen.
I'm nervous, so be patient. I want to say I enjoy your show, and you're a wonderful educator.
Thanks.
And what bothered me about the Da Vinci Code, and maybe Mac, who read the book, could explain this, what struck me was the lack of security in the Louvre. Like, somebody could be murdered in a gallery that has all these masterpieces, and there's not a flood of security. I mean, there must have been a guard on duty that on a beat. Or, hello, can you hear me?
Yes,
we can hear you. This is an intricate murder that's all weird with a pentagram, and that must have taken time to do. And then, doesn't Paris have a CSI that goes around with one of those lights? Because it's Tom Hanks had to go around with that light, and then he reached behind a painting. And I would think that either the guards at the Louvre would have been there, or the police would have stationed tons of security after something like that happened.
First let me try to answer, because I did not read the book. And I'll just say that there's nothing more refreshing to me than somebody having problems with the Da Vinci Code in the plot of the security at the Louvre, as opposed to anything to do with Christianity. That's the best thing. But
thank you.
But I do want to say that I believe that he was not murdered in that intricate way, right?
Correct.
That's what he did while he lay dying.
He did that to himself.
While he lay dying, he did that to himself. And I only saw the movie once, but when I start getting sick, I'm going to see it a few more times so I can make sure that I know how to draw a pentacle on my chest and do anagrams. When they had the trouble and they were running away, my wife started yelling, "Earn! Earn!" because she thought they would do everything in anagrams for the rest of the movie. But, Mac, how did they end up killing a guard with all that security at the Louvre?
Well,
you're saying, oh, I'm sorry, but if he, how could someone do that to themselves, and why didn't he just write a message?
There is that. But that would have been kind of a dull book. I mean, maybe two or three pages.
I'm having trouble hearing you. I'm sorry. I won't interrupt you.
Go ahead, Mac. Why don't you explain this? I was just going to say
that would have been a pretty dull book, two or three pages, if if CSI had come in and shown their lights around. They said, okay, here's the killer. And
His granddaughter's Jesus.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody. Drive carefully.
How about this haircut on Tom Hanks? I feel so dumb now. that explains it. Okay.
Well, thanks a lot, Kareen. Thanks.
Thank you.
Do they explain in the book at all why there's no security at the Louvre?
Well, the dude is the curator. He can walk wherever he wants.
Oh, okay. He's the curator. I'd forgotten that part of it.
Yeah.
That just went by quickly.
Yeah.
So he walks up. And then the albino who shot him. And by the way, the scene of the albino whipping himself is really sexy. I mean, the thing that the Christians have going for them is they've got some really sexy images.
You like that image of his toes curling up when he hits himself?
More than you know.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I just thought it was really cool. And I thought it's really cool that, I mean, it used to be that a lot of people could be villains in movies. It could be that Native Americans could be villains, you know. It could be that African Americans could be villains. It could be that poor Americans could be villains. Now all you have left who can be villains are businessmen and albinos. And the albinos are now angry at that too. So pretty soon we're going to have movies with no villains whatsoever. But you know, I think that might be enough on the Da Vinci Code. It might be time now to go full blown into Monkey Tuesday. And our first call on Monkey Tuesday is Stan on line one.
How you doing?
Doing very well, thank you.
I think I figured it out for the Da Vinci Code. I think it was a rabid chimp that killed the curator. he was crawling up in the rafters. Nobody ever found him. But because it is Monkey Tuesday, I'm going to bring you back to New Jersey to Great Adventure.
Okay, good.
You were a juggler there. And
I was a juggler at Great Adventure.
Through the safari.
Sure.
We had a 1988 Delta 88, okay? And we used to bring bananas. You're not allowed to do that. We used to bring bananas in, and as we drove past the guard, we looked to make sure he wasn't looking. We opened the window a little bit and tossed some bananas out onto the hood of the car. Well, the baboons would come flying all from all over the place, from hopping from car to car. And one of them grabbed a handful of bananas and sat down right where the retractable antenna was.
Oh!
And said, "Ooh, let's see what's going on the radio." And didn't see the monkey there at first. You never saw a monkey move so fast.
Oh!
And that was after his friend kind of like washed my windshield.
Oh, I see.
He got my drift.
Yes, I get your drift very, very clearly. You had a monkey sitting on a retractable antenna, and you turned it on the radio?
And my wife said, you know, because it says, you know, turn to this station to find out, the, you know, you can hear what's going on as you're going through the different wildlife areas.
Now, Stan.
She presses the button, and the monkey took off.
Stan, you know,
Stan. It was 98.6, but that was okay.
You know, Stan, you know I love you, but I think you're lying a little bit. You did not turn on the radio accidentally. You saw the monkey sitting there and said,
"That was my wife who turned it on. I wouldn't do that. I'm a lover of animals."
So to speak.
Well, Stan, it's a great, great story. Thank you so much.
And remember, you know what it is today? It's Monkey Tuesday.
It's Monkey Tuesday! And, you know, Mike Jones is playing at the Green Mill in Chicago. I know we have a lot of Chicago listeners. Friday and Saturday, Mike Jones is playing with a trio, with a bass player who's much better than me and a fabulous drummer. The Mike Jones Trio is playing at the Green Mill, one of the best places to see music in Chicago. He's this Friday and Saturday in Chicago. And I also want to say he has said, and he gave me his word, and Mike Jones, I don't think, lies to me that much. Mike Jones has said that if enough people from the radio show come down and enough people ask him, he will play the theme from Monkey Tuesday live. Now, remember, Mike Jones recorded this on his own in the studio. No one has ever heard him play the music live. The people of Chicago at the Green Mill could have a very special treat when they hear Mike Jones say, "And this is going out to you, Free FM, it's Monkey Tuesday!" Just imagine that. Also for Chicago people, you should know that Steve Dahl is going to be on the show tomorrow talking about his vasectomy. So this is it's Chicago time now, and the rest of the country is listening in. Let's take Gabe on line three. He wants to talk about things from Monkey Tuesday.
Hey, what's up, Ben? How you doing?
Doing very well, man. How are you?
I'm great. I love the show. Love the radio show. Love you on Showtime.
Thanks so much,
I was just calling because I heard this song. My friend played a song for me. I thought it would be awesome for Monkey Tuesday. The song is actually called Monkeys.
Uh-huh.
It's by a ska group called the Mad Caddies, Angry Cadillacs.
Mad Caddies?
A really great song. I think you should check it out, legally download it or go buy the CD or something like that. Obtain a copy of it and check it out and play it for your fans on Monkey Tuesday because it should be great.
Jack, no, it's only when I say it. That's okay. But Jack, find that song. Did you write it down? Did you type it down or something? You got that song, right? Monkeys by Mad Caddies. Someone write that down so we can find that song. Probably not next week, but maybe the week after we'll play that for you. I feel like all of a sudden I'm Cousin Brucey. I'm taking requests here. But, I mean, if there's a good monkey song, we want to know about it. Not that it would ever replace the theme from Monkey Tuesday.
No, certainly not.
But we might just play it as a special little thing. But thanks a lot for calling. Let's take line number one with Joe. See what he's got to say. How you doing, Joe?
How you doing, Penn? Love the show.
Thanks so much, man.
I was at Six Flags in New Jersey, and I'm driving through the monkey cage in the safari.
This is the same place.
My side view mirror. Say again?
Uh-huh. That's the same place. Great Adventure changed its name to Six Flags. This safari drive must be the most comedy per square inch of any place on Earth. But go on.
Yeah, so this monkey, he gets in my side view mirror, and I guess he was kind of excited because you could kind of see a little...
That's enough of that.
A red Christmas tree light, if you will.
Yeah, we got you.
And, sorry. And he's out of nowhere, he starts beating on my windshield.
Uh-huh.
And he's just, whacking on my windshield. So, I don't know what to do. And I turn on my windshield wipers. I spray him off with the windshield with the fluid.
Of course.
And he grabs the windshield wiper.
Uh-huh.
Pulls it to the side of my car, and he's hanging off the side of my car trying to break this windshield wiper.
Oh, Fabulous.
So,
fabulous,
I mean, my girlfriend's in the car. She's screaming. It's her car. And
good move.
Yeah. I wasn't bringing my car in the monkey cage. No way. But he gets back on the hood of my car, and he starts slamming his fist down on the hood, and he starts slamming the windshield again. So she's screaming at me. This monkey's going crazy. There's another monkey on my hood because they just, like, let them go over your cars.
Uh-huh.
And out of nowhere, like, I don't know what to do. I slammed on the gas and start speeding to the monkey cage, and I slam on my brakes to get the monkey off my car. He rolls off my car, just gets up, looks at me, and then he runs on top of another car.
Oh, I mean, this is the only time, really, that I wish monkeys could talk. I would love to hear this from another point of view. And then this guy turns on his windshield wipers, so I grab onto it, and I'm trying to rip it off, and then he starts driving like a nut, slams on his brakes, so I finally go, screw it, I'll go bother another car. But thanks. Oh, we're going to take a break now. When we come back from the break, stay on the line. We have Matt, who worked at Six Flags, and Matt is going to tell us everything. I don't know who this guy is, but I just saw it on the computer. Matt from Six Flags will be calling in on Monkey Tuesday. 866-313-3733. Monkey Tuesday. I don't know what to do, do you, Patrick? But I say it while the music is playing. There we go. Good. We had a little discussion. I think I ripped off one caller. Callers are supposed to be able to say Monkey Tuesday and get the music played. So I apologize for that little mistake. But I want to read a couple of Gmails. We're going to get to Matt, who worked at Six Flags. I get a feeling he's going to be so good, though. I'm kind of saving him here. First, I want to read this Gmail that came in. Penn, or the guy reading the email, I heard from a friend who went to Toy Fair in New York City this past October that Mack King is coming out with a line of magic toys / tricks. I've been looking in stores but haven't seen anything yet. Could you ask Matt what is the deal and where can I find his line? Longtime fan, Nick.
That must be my cousin Bill who did all the drawings and illustrations. Yeah.
Tell him about the. I saw some of the tricks and they look like cool little magic tricks.
Yeah, they're cool little magic tricks.
But they have monkeys in them.
And they're all, about two thirds of them are monkey themed.
Yeah.
And do I get to say Monkey Tuesday?
No, he doesn't.
Why? I'm not Michael Godot.
Oh, okay. He's not Michael Godot. Okay, go ahead, say it.
I just said it, Monkey Tuesday.
Okay, it's only Godot that can. I'm just trying to get the rules straight. It's hard. But tell us about your stupid toys.
All right. Well, sir, my line of stupid toys includes the following. It's Fundex is a toy company, and they put out this line of toys. There's 11 different things, and they'll be in stores at the end of this year, probably another 2 or 3 months.
Cool. So people shouldn't get in line now.
Should not get in line now. But they should be at, what'd you call it? Thesaurus?
Thesaurus. Toysaurus. Yeah, Toysaurus. Toys R Us. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
You'll make a chunk of change off that. Get people to go to the Big Mac King Magic
that's
Show.
That's a big thing. Sell that's a few all Magic
good.
Show tickets.
That's all good for the world. Here's another Monkey Tuesday story. Hey, Penn. Big fan. I'm listening at work and thinking back to my monkey experience. I want to read this one because we have so many where monkeys get hurt. Here's one where monkeys don't get hurt, and I think that's important for all the animal lovers that listen to Monkey Tuesday. This happens at the Bermuda Zoo in 1976. It was a time when monkeys were kept in small cement areas with bars between us and them. We're walking down a path with cages on both sides and notice a mommy duck and her three little ones walking alongside. So cute. She led her chicks to the side, whereupon a monkey reached out of the bars, swept up a chick, bit its head off, and threw the body back down. Kind of ruined the moment. That's from Donna.
But no harm came to a monkey.
No harm came to a monkey. It's a happy little story. Now, I just want to say, some people listening may think, What kind of heartless bastard would laugh about a baby duck's hand being ripped off by a monkey? And I want to explain something about how we deal with grief. We all have different ways. And I'm heartbroken by this monkey ripping off the head of the baby duckling. So the reaction I give, you can't tell how grief's going to come out.
Oh,
so
anybody sounds, was here would know watching.
I'm very close to crying. Yeah. Yeah. And Happy Jack is crying, too. We're all crying because there's... There's nothing funny. You wouldn't even, no sane person would consider that there's even a chance someone would be laughing because there's nothing funny about a baby duckling having its head ripped off by a monkey and then the monkey throwing the rest of the duckling back just so the kids could see it. Okay, let's take line two. Matt, you worked at Six Flags. How you doing, Matt?
Hello. Hello.
Hi, you're talking to Penn, and Matt King is here, too. How you doing?
How's everyone doing? My name's Matt, and I can't believe I got beat out on the Great Adventure Monkey Stories by two people already.
I know, but the Great Adventure was really one of the monkey capitals of the United States of America, especially in the 70s. But you said you worked there.
I worked there between 96 and 2001.
And were they still letting monkeys run wild?
Not really, but I used to work there on the off-season when there was nobody in the park, and a bunch of us found out that if you drive really far into the frontier area of the park, there's actually a part where the park connects to the safari right at the monkey cage area.
Uh-huh.
So there's just basically a chain link fence between you and the monkeys.
Uh-huh.
So we used to go, while we should have been working, we used to stop off at the vending machines at the administration building and pick up a whole bunch of cheese nips and other snack crackers to go feed the baboons, and we get in our little work truck, and we go driving out to the monkey cage.
Yeah,
and we sit in the flatbed and throw cheese nips and feed the monkeys and laugh at them as they eat our food.
Is that the end of the story?
Funny.
Say again.
Is that the end of the story?
Oh no, no.
Okay.
One day I had a can of Altoids with me, and these are curiously strong mints.
Oh, yeah.
So got it in my head that perhaps the monkeys would enjoy a curiously strong mint.
Sure.
So I threw one in, and one monkey couldn't really find in the dirt, so I threw a handful of the Altoids into the monkey area. So a whole bunch of monkeys started grabbing and eating Altoids.
Uh-huh.
And from what I've learned from this experience is that baboons don't like Altoids.
Uh-huh.
They just started freaking out. And once they started freaking out, they started jumping on the cage and shaking it and on the chain link fence. And me, the guy I was working with, we started freaking out. We didn't know what to do. If they really looked the ones that were not spitting up the Altoids were really getting upset. So, we just got into the truck and we started, we peeled out of there. But we learned that monkeys
Tear
don't
out,
like Altoids.
Guys. Run, run, run! We fed the baboons Altoids! Cheese it! Let's run!
Now they're curiously strong.
They are curiously strong. Thanks a lot for calling, Matt. Thanks a lot, man. Let's take another call. Line six, we got Joe.
Hey, Penn.
How you doing, Joe? What's up? You got Penn, you got Matt King here.
I'm pretty good. I got a good story for you.
Lay it on us.
Six Flags again.
Oh, Six Flags.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Lay it on us.
Okay. Well, the baboons destroyed my car, my wipers and everything, and they got me crazy. And I put the windshield, the fluids on, they were drinking that stuff. So
really?
I went back the next week, and I had cleaned out my windshield wiper fluid, and I put a laxative in it. I filled it up with a laxative. And I went back, and I just...
Whoa, whoa, whoa. Monkeys got you mad, so you emptied out your washer fluid and filled it with a laxative?
Yeah, very powerful.
Why are you not our leader?
Week, and I feel sorry for the cars in back of me that day. You know what happened.
Right, they did, but they drank out of your windshield washer.
They were drinking my fluid the week before. I was so crazy, I just wanted them off my car, and they were just breaking stuff. So I went back the following week. And I filled up the thing with the liquid laxative, and I said, "Here, drink all you want now, guys."
Well, thank you so much, Joe. Why isn't that guy our leader? If he were president of the United States, we would have found Osama bin Laden without a doubt. There's a guy. He goes back the next week. And he's punishing probably not even the same monkeys, right? Exactly the same monkeys?
No, he's not punishing anyone. Those monkeys are having fun.
That's right. It's just now, let me just but what I don't understand is doesn't washer fluid have in it like some sort of antifreeze and soap type thing?
If it has Freon in it, antifreeze in it, yeah, that's deadly.
Yeah. So why aren't the monkeys dying from drinking the washer fluid anyway?
Well,
maybe it's not antifreeze it has in it. We have to find. Well, okay, for this, we need a very special thing. We need someone to call in and tell us what is in windshield washer fluid. Or maybe that's time to start typing. Okay, let's take line. Is that line 3 or 7? 7. Line 7. Let's take line 7. Are you there, Dean?
Yeah, I'm here.
What's up, Dean?
Hey. Yeah, I just wanted to tell you, man, because of all the problems at Six Flags,
yeah,
they now gated off all the monkeys, so now they're not allowed to, like, climb on the cars and stuff.
They can't?
They gated everything off. It's out now, all big chain-link fences. They're not allowed to climb all over the cars anymore.
Oh, that's a drag, isn't it?
Yeah, right. I used to have a lot of fun, man, but it always gets annoying because everyone always feeds them, and then the monkeys go nuts. But yeah, it's a big thing now. Like, I guess something really bad must have happened for them to actually lock up the monkeys.
I would guess so. I would guess something fairly bad must have happened. And I bet that something bad is something we can find out about if we just do enough Monkey Tuesdays.
Yeah, man.
It seems like people are calling in with everything possible bad that can happen with monkeys. Well, thanks a lot, Dean. Thanks a lot for calling. That's a sad thing, you know? Why did they do a big thing on that? We know when they closed the Grand Ole Opry, when they toured on the original Grand Ole Opry, a lot of people talked about that a lot. But when they put gates on the monkeys in the safari park at Six Flags, no comments whatsoever. No comments. We got to do some major protests. Do I have time for this story? It's kind of a long story. Might have to wait for the next Monkey Tuesday. For those of you who don't know, we didn't cover all this. Elvis's monkey, we've talked about Elvis's monkey quite a bit. Now, when we say Elvis's monkey, we actually mean his pet animal. We don't mean Elvis's monkey the way Priscilla meant Elvis's monkey. He had two monkeys.
Or the monkey on his back.
Or the monkey on his back, yeah. Elvis didn't do no drugs. Elvis did not do no drugs. Elvis didn't do not drugs. Elvis was a God-fearing man. Elvis didn't do no drugs. This is Scatter, which is the second monkey. We've forgotten the name of the first monkey. He had two monkeys, Elvis did. From, I guess, Careless Love, The Unmaking of Elvis Presley by Peter Guralnik, they have reported that Elvis left Scatter's outside when it was cold, and Scatter tried to climb a fence and froze to the fence pole and died. Poor Scatter. He also liked looking up ladies' dresses. What more do any of us want out of life than to have a life where we hang out with someone like Elvis, look up a lot of women's dresses, and then finally freeze stuck to a fence? I think that's a fine way to live.
That's how Billy McComb died.
It is. It is Billy McComb. Well, what's that say? I have no idea what that says. We wanted to add one thing here. Happy Jack wants you to know that the standard body temperature for a cow is 101.5 degrees.
I want you to know that antifreeze contains ethylene glycol, but stuff in your windshield wiper, methanol.
Methanol.
Yeah, which is hazardous.
Which is hazardous, but won't kill a monkey as quickly.
Might not.
Very special thanks to Matt King, who's playing at Harrah's and has a line of toys coming out. Everything's groovy. This is Monkey Tuesday, and we're gone. We're going to have Matt on again to tell the greatest story ever told.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.